Well, good morning, everybody. It's July 18th, 2022. And if I do say so myself, welcome back, Larry. I'm Larry Jacobs, and as you may realize, we took off last week. It's a summer week, so what the heck. So we're back this week with a full schedule. Looking forward to it. It was nice to be off and get some other stuff done, et cetera, et cetera. And I hope you're having a good summer just like we are here in Maine. And we got a nice show for you today with Anna Hausman, a first-time guest. So, Anna, I'll bring you on in a minute. But welcome. Anna is the Group Product Marketing Director for a company called Riverside Insights. And we're going to talk about assessment program design and how we can put that into work for equity and eliminate and actually find invisible systemic opportunity gaps, okay, and learn more about our students and ways to eliminate that challenge. So it's going to be a really nice show with Anna today. I'll bring her on in just a second. I'll bring you on in just a second, Anna. We're going to archive this show at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our home website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We work very hard for equity of all sorts, all right, over there. And if you go over there, everything's linked that I'm going to tell you about that's over there. Our awards program is winding down, but you can still nominate yourself, your company. Anna, you might think about it for Riverside, okay, and anyone else listening, okay, for working towards equity in pre-K-12. There's an icon called awards. Check it out, okay? Also, all of our podcasts are over there under podcasts. Our magazine, Pre-K Equity and Access Pre-K-12, is over there. Just click on the cover and enjoy the issue. We're putting together our back-to-school issue as I speak. You can also link over to SEL Today, which is our social-emotional learning resource center. That's available. And also go over to teacher-retention.com. All about the educator shortage, which we are very, 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 how many varies, concerned about. And everything's over there linked at ace-ed.org. So I don't know if Anna's running to get the awards program in effect, or she's still here. Let's find out. Anna, are you still there? It's a joke. I know you're still there.
Hi, Larry. I'm still here. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, Anna. How are you? Welcome to Monday.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, I'm excited to have you here today. It's nice to meet you and your company. And I know you've got a 404 area code. Are you down in Atlanta today?
I'm from Atlanta, but I am in the Big Apple. I live in New York.
Ooh. All right. Good. I'd like to be a part of it. New York, New York. Okay.
The greatest city in the world.
It is. It is. And you don't have an even though I live close to Boston, they'll kill me if they if I say that to you aloud about the Yankees and the Jets, but I do like New York. It is a lot of fun. Okay, that's good. You're up there in New York. Okay, I don't hear any accent. Okay, I don't hear any accent from the great metropolitan area of Atlanta. No accent, nothing.
I know. Nothing? I know. My mom said I got rid of my southern accent. So
You did.
I guess so.
Welcome to the great Northeast. I'm up here in Maine. Have you ever been to Maine?
Oh, I love Maine. I ran the Portland Marathon last fall. It's beautiful.
You're kidding. I live about 45 minutes from Portland, so that's really nice. Well, good for you. That's great.
Thank you.
I hope you come up again this fall.
It's great.
That's super. So go ahead, please. Finish up your thought.
Oh, no. I was just going to say I plan on being back there. It's a beautiful state, beautiful area.
Excellent. Well, when you're up there, you call me. Well, I'll meet you for a bite of lobster. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Sounds
after
great.
The race. After the race, Anna. After the race.
After the race.
Yeah. Okay. But I will buy you a lobster. I promise you. Okay. You are the group product marketing director, ta-da, for Riverside Insights. So now it's your turn to brag. Tell us all about Riverside Insights.
Yes. Well, I'm so excited to be here because Riverside is an assessment company that's really focused on understanding the potential of every learner. And if it's okay, Larry, I'd love to talk a little bit about kind of how I ended up here and why this matters so much to me. So I started actually as a kindergarten, fourth grade, and fifth grade teacher in Newark, New Jersey, in the South Ward of Newark. and a regional assessment director. And I saw, so we were 100% focused on closing the achievement gap for our kids. All of our kids were coming from very low-income backgrounds. And we started, and everything in the year revolved around helping our kids pass the state test. And so we started test prepping almost on day one. Everything was really aligned to ensuring that our students were learning the skills and mastering the skills and the standards to be able to really do well on the state test. And we closed those achievement gaps every single year. Our kids were beating the state, beating the district. And I couldn't figure out the missing link, though, because our kids were beating the district, doing really well on the state test. And then they would get to high school and start struggling and get to college and struggle even more. And so, and I remember specific instances of students where, you know, I had one student that was held back 2 years in a row and was still struggling. And I didn't know whether it was an academic issue, a social emotional issue. I remember one student that was just bored out of his mind and was, I knew he was brilliant, but really didn't do well on those state tests. And so I couldn't figure this out. Like, what was going on? We were working 16 hours a day. Our kids were doing, you know, as much work as they could, but there was a missing link somewhere. And so I ended up going back to school and just taking some time to really think about it, and ended up at Riverside Insights, which is a company focused on we have a holistic suite of assessments to understand each child's learning potential. And I realized that through that journey, so many schools are building systematic inequities through their assessment programs. And don't have the right data points to really understand a student's true potential. And so as a result, we're relying on these state tests or achievement tests, and it's creating these systems of inequity for specifically marginalized students.
You know, first of all, I have to say something to you. You know, when I have said, I was a teacher, by the way, for years, all right, long time ago now, but I was a teacher for years. And your story's excellent, you're obviously such a caring educator, okay? And I always say this, you know, a lot of times teachers, we're very concerned about this, but they do get burned out. It's a rough job, okay? But there's a lot of places they can go to and take their expertise and still work for the good of kids, okay? And that's exactly what you did, okay? I really appreciate this, and thank you for this. You're not in the classroom anymore, but you saw what they needed. Now you work for a company, I'll say them again, Riverside Insights, that's working to achieve the goals that you saw were some of the challenges out there. So you're even more heavily involved in education now with the same caring attitude than you were before, if I may. Okay, and I think that – I just got to congratulate you. I think that's great, and it's just terrific. Okay, just terrific of the way you're thinking. And now we got to figure out what to do with all these kids. And thank you for working in Newark, by the way. My son's best friend up here is a young fella, okay, from Newark, who left New York City schools. He got into one of these programs that allowed him to go to high school in Manchester, Vermont. Okay, wow. And that, as he always says, you know, from Newark, he went to Manchester, was a number of years ago now, and he said that saved his tush. That's what, you know, made him the man he is today, getting out of a system that wasn't working for him and getting into one that was working for him, okay, and
absolutely
easier to work in. So I love you for all this, Anna, okay, and I love the work you're doing now. I think it's great. You know, we're talking, what causes the, what is the challenge in the assessment tests about this inequity? What are they missing?
Yeah.
And feel free to talk about this. How can Riverside help them? Okay.
Well, absolutely.
Where's the challenge? What are you finding? I got a million questions I can ask. You already know the question. Be my guest. Go ahead. Have fun. You know where I'm going here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Larry.
You're welcome.
So, you know, when testing has always been a key component of education, but it became, you know, even more important with No Child Left Behind, when states really started rolling out state tests that were measuring student growth, that were measuring school success, that were measuring teacher, how effective teachers were in the classroom. And before I kind of talk about like what the systems of inequity, I want to differentiate between achievement tests and other types of assessments like ability assessments. So the state tests or the tests that you're typically giving in the classroom are achievement tests. What that means is they measure what students are learning in the classroom. And so achievement tests are really helpful, and you could put like the ACT in as an achievement test. So state tests, a lot of benchmarking tests that happen in the classroom. Achievement tests are really helpful because they measure how effective instruction is, like how instruction is impacting students. So what are students learning in the classroom? How effective are teachers? How is curriculum impacting student performance? But the problem with only using achievement tests is that you can test prep for them. They are they reflect the strength of a curriculum or the strength of teachers. They reflect, how well students are prepared at home. And so there can be, if you're only using achievement tests, students from marginalized backgrounds or students that are in school districts that don't have strong teachers or strong curricula will not perform as well on achievement tests.
Good point.
So what Riverside Insights
so
really
so they're totally
inequitable,
if I may, it just goes to show you the inequality. Okay? It's not measuring the same thing. Go ahead. Continue, please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what Riverside Insights really advocates for is combining your achievement data, ability data. And so ability data, unlike achievement data, isn't measuring what students are learning on the day-to-day basis. They're measuring what students are capable of. They're measuring student aptitude.
Wow.
And so it's really a powerful piece of information because it is measuring your students' ability to create or to critically problem solve. It's measuring their ability to think about – it's essentially measuring how they think and looking at their innate student potential or their innate aptitude. And so what we find is that students from marginalized backgrounds have a much higher can perform much stronger on this ability test because it doesn't reflect the curriculum and it doesn't reflect what they're learning at home. It just reflects their natural student strengths and potential. And so what we have is, or we work with a number of districts across the country that use this ability data in conjunction with their achievement data. And they find students, we call them like the missing students, find students using ability data that to identify for advanced academic programming or to, we find mismatches with their ability data and their achievement data. For example, a student that is performing really well on an ability test but not performing as well on an achievement test, there's a missing link there. What is that student,
yes,
what
there
other
is.
Support does that student need, right? And so it just provides a completely alternative data point to really understand the holistic, potential of a student beyond just what they're learning on a day-to-day basis in the classroom.
And when all said and done, how do teachers use this? What do they do then with the results? Or how does the school district use it? How does a school counselor use it? Actually, let me ask the question a different way. Okay, I want to know, first of all, who gives a test like this? Is it given to the whole grade normally? Is it given to a single classroom? Is it given in 8th grade or 12th grade or 2nd grade? How's it given? I want to get into that first, okay?
That's a great question, Larry.
Thank you. That's when they pay me the big bucks, Anna. You and me. Okay?
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah, exactly. So now with our big bucks, who's making – and I love this, by the way. Who's making the decision to give the kids the test? Who's testing and where, et cetera? Go over that and what grades.
Absolutely. Historically, and I'll just qualify, Riverside Insights ability test is called the COGAT or the Cognitive Abilities Test. And it is the number one abilities test in the country. And historically, these ability tests have predominantly been used for gifted and talented identification. And historically,
you work a lot with NAGC?
Sure do. And I heard your session a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I love them. They're great.
I work
with them all the time. National Association for the Gifted. I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead, please. And by
They're
the way,
fantastic.
Let me make the point. in so many schools, teachers do not know how to identify a gifted kid.
Exactly.
Okay, that's why this is so damn important.
Exactly.
Okay?
You it may is so continue. Important.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
So historically, as I know you talked about, a couple weeks ago in your session with NAGC, we saw gifted and talented programs across the country identifying students for gifted and talented using a referral-based process, meaning that teachers and parents would request their students to take this cognitive abilities test to try and get into the gifted programming. What that ends up resulting in is gifted and talented programs being predominantly white, predominantly middle class, predominantly boys. And so
I went predominantly boys. Did you say that? Predominantly boys?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even know that. That surprised me. I got that one surprised me. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah,
no, historically.
And wow.
So what we have been advocating for, and I know there's been a big push across the U.S.
Girls are smarter than boys. Doesn't anybody know that? You don't need a test. Okay. Women are smarter than men.
Girls are
smarter than boys. What the hell is going on here? Okay. I don't need a test for that, but please continue. Let's erase this inequity right off the bat. Go ahead.
So recently there have been big pushes to move from referral-based testing to universal screening, where you are universally screening every single child in a grade using this cognitive abilities test. And what we have seen, and we have a number of case studies about this, is that districts using universal screening create a population in gifted and talented that is racially and socioeconomically proportional to the district at large. So they are providing far more opportunities for students to get into those advanced academic programs or gifted and talented programs. And
good.
But what's really exciting is that not only is this cognitive ability data helpful for representative identification into gifted and talented and advanced academic programming, but it's really helpful for every single student. And the reason is that the COGAT, or the cognitive abilities test, provides every single student with what we call an abilities profile, where after a student takes the test, and I'd like to highlight in K through 2, it's a completely nonverbal test. So it's all picture-based, which means that a student who doesn't have English as a first language can really have the opportunity excel on this test.
Very important.
We're
really talking, if I may, because we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education.
Yeah.
We are really talking equity here. I mean, this
we
is
are,
really
100%.
Yeah, we are really talking equity. So,
100%.
We're diving deep. Go ahead. This is great.
We're diving. It's awesome because this abilities profile that you get with every cognitive abilities test or COGAT that you give. Shows you, highlights your student's strengths and your areas of opportunity for that student. And so it allows you as an educator to flip the script. When, I think with the achievement test, especially the focus on state tests, there is the entire conversation in the classroom is surrounds what skills is a child missing? What standards have they not mastered? And so it's a very negative way of thinking about learning. It's like all about what they haven't yet achieved. But when you look at COGAT or the cognitive abilities test, number one, you understand the student's innate potential for learning, but you also can see what their strengths are and create learning environments that capitalize upon those strengths and build a much more positive environment for learning in the classroom. We have a school district down in South Carolina that does a really interesting, they have created a program called Stretch or Support, where they take this this COGAT data, this ability data, and they build opportunities, enrichment opportunities throughout the day in their classrooms for students to stretch their strengths and support their areas of growth. And so it becomes, it infuses social emotional learning and, self-awareness.
I'm just going to ask you that. I'm just going to talk to you about that, okay? I don't have to get into it. Everybody knows social emotional learning right now, okay, is the number one issue. And I know school safety matters. Please don't misunderstand that, everybody.
Right.
But
of course.
Just learning-wise, social emotional learning, okay, is just the key. And every superintendent says that's the key thing. And talk, I want you to do a little deeper dive into that. As we try to understand social-emotional learning and how important that is, okay, and no, it's not some communist plot to take over your child's mind, okay? it's just something to give kids good feelings about their life skills, okay? That's what it is, and I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say that, okay? Talk about how your test measures that and what we're looking for with that and the impact of SEL on the other learning. Go ahead, or the academic learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, please.
Absolutely. So,
go ahead, Anna.
And I think social-emotional learning is one of those things that unfortunately has become politicized. And when we go back to the
root of
what SEL is.
It's dying down a bit. Yeah, that politicalization, the politicization, whatever you call it, is dying down a bit. Okay?
Exactly.
Well, everybody's only interested in helping the kids. And so are the parents. And people just, a lot of people just did not understand or still do not understand what it really is. And it's going to take a little bit of good communication. But that's going to die down. We really want to just help the kids.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
Exactly.
I'm preaching to the choir. I don't know why I'm doing that. Thank you. Please attend my Sunday sermon. Thank you all. Okay, good. Continue. Yeah.
So SEL, I think at its core, is really preparing students to be, you know, to be valuable, to be adults and to have the skills that they need to succeed in life, whether they're going to college or post-secondary education or just going straight into a career. And so what, you know, Riverside Insights provides a couple different areas where we can really, or a couple different, you know, solutions where we can really help school districts support the social-emotional learning of their students. So with COGAT, for instance, because it's a strengths-based assessment, I can identify using the assessment student strengths that will allow them to understand what their own natural strengths are and what their areas of opportunity are to really increase their self-awareness and be able to develop those strengths in the future. That is a huge component of social-emotional learning. We also are so excited. We, Riverside Insights, just acquired Aperture, which is a social-emotional.
Right, of course. Friend,
yeah.
Jessica Adamson, my good friend over at SC Sun. Oh, God, I love them. Kristen Hinton, I know
they're
them
fantastic.
All. Yeah, they are. They're wonderful people.
They are now.
They're great.
Speaking of
South Carolina that you mentioned a few minutes ago. Okay.
Yeah.
They're in South Carolina.
So they are now part of Riverside Insights, and we're so excited about this.
Yeah, I remember that now. Wonderful company, lovely people, everybody. Now they're part of Riverside. That's great.
They really are. And their DESA suite of assessments is also a strengths-based assessment to understand what students' social and emotional competencies are and what their social and emotional skills are. And so at Riverside now, we have this really interesting marriage of helping educators understand students' social and emotional competencies and strengths, and students' cognitive ability strengths. And we kind of view these as the baseline to understanding student potential for growth. Because without understanding what students' capacity to learn, you know, is, whether it's from a social-emotional perspective or a cognitive perspective, you're never going to be able to really understand what they're fully capable of achieving in the classroom. And so we're so excited to have the Aperture team join Riverside Insights.
Yeah, you should be.
And
they're
be able
good. Like
to continue.
I said, good folks. Good folks.
They're great people. Great folks.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to have them, round out our holistic suite of assessments to ensure that every district has that cognitive data point, that cognitive potential data point, and that social-emotional strength data point to be able to measure that full potential for growth in the classroom.
Yeah, and by the way, you should know, and I think everybody can know this, I'm saying that women are smarter than men, okay? Jessica Adamson at Aperture was there at the very beginning when Aperture was nothing. It was a name. Okay, and they were just starting out. And maybe it's 6 years now, 7 years, whatever it is now, maybe longer. Time flies. Okay, she has built that, she and her team, I won't give everybody credit, she has really built that company into a powerhouse of SEL. Okay, and she's just great. You're going to love working with her. Okay, she's an old friend, and I just think the world of her. Okay, and I know a number of the people there, but she's just terrific. Okay, just want to make that point. Okay, so let me ask the question again. When you go into a school district, Okay, who is the person who purchases your product? I'm curious about this. Who's that person? And then how do they use? They take it. All right, everybody, we're taking this September 19th off, and everybody's going to take this test, or is it given individually? Did I miss something? I'm just curious about how this works in a given any given school district. What do you think? And
so
how long does it take to give the test? Is it an hour? Is it 45 minutes? Is it 6 days? What is it? Yeah, I'm curious.
So we work with districts and across the country. We're in every state, and we work with public districts, independent schools, charter schools, and then diocesan or diocesan schools as well.
Education.
And so it really depends on the type of school and the district that we're working with. At some districts, we're working directly with the superintendent, who is the person who makes the decisions about their assessment programs in the district. At some places, we're working with the principal. At some places, we're working with the gifted and talented coordinator. So it really depends on kind of how the schools are structured and who's making those assessment decisions and the assessment program decisions. But what we find is that it's incredibly important for, even if we're not working directly with, you know, the curriculum and instruction coordinator or the principals, like, it's very important that everybody is brought into the conversation, because one of the things we are building out right now is a balanced assessment plan workshop playbook, so that schools really, when they are designing their assessment programs, have the ability to think about all of these different dimensions of their assessment program and bring to the table, you know, all of the relevant stakeholders so that they can make decisions that are comprehensive and not in isolation, so that students are not impacted. Like, for this sounds really silly, but students in some districts are taking 3 tests in one day. And that is not, that doesn't allow for equitable administration of assessments. Regarding the COGAT or abilities test, there are 2 options. There is a screener test, which is a shorter version, and it allows you to quickly identify some of that student cognitive ability information.
How short? What's shorter version?
Yeah, that one's about 30 minutes. And then the full COGAT test.
That's good. That's cool.
It is good. The full COGAT test is where you get and that's the one we really recommend, because that allows you to have the full abilities profile and understand your student strengths and areas of opportunity.
Of course.
And that one has 3 domains. It has, or 3 batteries. It has the verbal component, and when I say it, and then the nonverbal component, and then the quantitative component. And that is about 90 minutes total. You can take it online. You can take it on paper. We recommend online because you get your data a lot faster there. You administer it to a class period at one time. So, you know, typically what schools will do is administer it across an entire grade level at one time.
Cool. And do they do it at the beginning of the year or the end of the year, or anytime they want?
It depends.
What's the best?
It depends on how schools are using the cognitive ability data. So we have schools that administer it at the beginning of the year, and then we have a number of schools that administer it at the end of the year or in the spring and use it for student placement for the following year, or use it in conjunction with that achievement data to understand a student, you know, whether or not the achievement of a student is matching their true potential.
And once a test is administered, and they get the results. This is a key question. And I always say this, a lot of educators just, they see the results, but they don't, they're not great. They haven't been trained, I have to say it this way, on really interpreting the results and then making the points to whoever it might be to get something moving here. Okay? Once the test is given, is Riverside there to help them interpret the results? That's key.
That's a great question, and I agree. When
Thank
I gave test in the classroom, I had no idea what to do with the results.
That's because they're not trained. That's because they're not
exactly
trained to do it. Okay, you're trained to hand out a number 2 pencil with the test, and that's it. Okay,
you're spot on. So we have a full Riverside Training Academy program where districts can sign up to receive personalized either in-person or virtual training for their leaders and for their teachers. And we're also, we have so many resources because one of the key things we find is that when teachers give this test, it's not that they don't see they see the results. We have differentiated instruction reports so they can see the results and immediately know how to serve that child in the classroom. But so many people don't understand the difference between ability data and achievement data. And so find is that people don't know the purpose of the test. People don't know why data is
exactly
so
right.
important to advancing
exactly
equity
right.
in a school. And so our Riverside
You're the equity company.
Program,
You're the equity company.
We're the
You're
equity
really
company.
You're good. I like it. I love it.
So our Riverside Training Academy program helps support that understanding of what ability data is. And then we are working also on a couple of different workshops and playbooks to really help districts and schools turnkey this to teachers, because that's where we find it gets lost. Like, your district administrator may understand what ability data is versus achievement data, but they're missing the teachers don't get it. And then as a result, the data isn't utilized as well as it needs to be in the classroom. And so we're
That's
really
right.
working on developing out
That's
like
right.
our reports, our differentiated instruction reports, and our workshops so that we can ensure that teachers know what ability data means, how it advances equity, and how it supports every learner.
You never did leave the classroom, did you? See?
I love it.
I know you do. I know you. I can hear it in your voice, Anna. I have one last question, and this is not educational. Your last name is Houseman, okay?
It is.
Any relation to the famous actor and producer, John Houseman? Do you know him?
Not that I know of. But that's,
do you know who he is?
No.
All right, then you don't have to look him up. Larry's going to tell you. Okay, you go to Netflix, and you watch a movie called The Paper Chase.
Okay,
which you will love, okay? It's about Harvard Law School, okay? The Paper Chase. It's from the 70s, okay? And John Houseman plays Professor Kingsfield, and you'll watch the movie, and you'll never forget Professor Kingsfield. That's your namesake, at least, whether it's a relative.
All
who
right.
knows. Okay, the paper. Say that to me. That's your quiz for today, The Paper Chase.
The paper chase. On Netflix.
There you go. You'll love that movie. Okay.
All right.
And anybody else, gang, if you haven't seen it, you'll love it. Okay. John Houseman. All right. That's great. Anna, this has been terrific. I really enjoyed this. This is one you're like the most enthusiastic person in all of Brooklyn. I'm very impressed. Okay.
Oh, thanks, Larry. Well, thank you for having me. It was a really treat to talk to
we'll
you.
We'll do more. If we do more, we'll be able to bring on some of the school districts you work with. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be great. We would love that.
Yeah, and we can talk really to those folks who are working with you, et cetera, et cetera. This is great, Anne. Can't thank you enough for taking time with us on a Monday morning. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome. You take care. Enjoy New York, okay? Talk to you later.
Sounds good. Take care.
Bye. Okay. Anna Houseman, everybody. She's Group Product Marketing Director. Check this company out. It's Riverside Insight. Riverside. Did I say Riverside before? RiversideInsights.com. RiversideInsights.com. Good stuff. That's all I can tell you. You heard the show. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Check out everything we do over there. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Welcome back, Larry.